Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Neurodivergent Skills Workbook for Autism and ADHD. Cultivate Self-Compassion, Live Authentically, and Be Your Own Advocate by Jennifer Kemp, M.Psych, and Monique Mitchelson, M.Psych. Foreword by Sunny Jane Wise. Narrated by April Doty. Publisher's Note: This audio edition references bonus materials that can be found at newharbinger.com/53073. Limit of liability / disclaimer of warranty. This publication is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering psychological, financial, legal, or other professional services. If expert assistance or counseling is needed, the services of a competent professional should be sought. Foreword. As a multiply neurodivergent individual, it is my great pleasure to endorse this book and reassure the autistic and ADHD community that this is a helpful tool for our toolkit that is actually affirming of our neurodivergence. When Jennifer and Monique asked me to write the foreword for their new book, I was honored because it meant they valued my voice and my lived experience, something we neurodivergent people aren't used to. Not only that, but I was also impressed they asked me because I'm proudly pedantic. If anyone follows me on social media, you'll know I have somewhat high standards when it comes to anything neurodiversity affirming, and for a very good reason, too. I was diagnosed with autism and ADHD when I was a child, over 20 years ago, which meant I grew up in the deficit era of autism. I grew up hearing narratives that I was broken, that I was too much, that I was a burden, that there was something wrong with me, and that I needed to be fixed. And let me tell you, this shaped my childhood, my teen years, and my 20s, from depression to anxiety to self-hate to believing I shouldn't exist. I believed this until 6 years ago, when I discovered the concept of neurodiversity and was offered a new narrative. Since then, I've been providing resources, talks, and workshops on neurodiversity and neurodivergence, and I've been critical of the pathology paradigm and the disorder label for even longer. I guess you could say I'm passionate about making sure no one else grows up hating themselves or viewing themselves as less than for being autistic or an ADHDer. I'm someone who understands how important it is to be surrounded by a narrative that affirms our differences, and this workbook does just that. I think even more significantly, it affirms our differences and needs without dismissing our very real challenges and difficulties. So if I say this workbook is neurodiversity affirming and doesn't try to fix or change our autism or ADHD, I genuinely mean it. As an example of how affirming this workbook is, Monique and Jennifer share tools and strategies for supporting our challenges with executive functioning without labeling them as deficits. See, I don't believe we have executive functioning deficits, but instead, we have executive functioning differences. If neurotypical people aren't the benchmark for what is normal, how on earth can we have deficits? That's not to say we can't find our executive functioning differences disabling or distressing, but too often, resources and books will focus on improving our executive functioning skills instead of finding ways to work with our differences. Not this one, though. I think, most importantly, this workbook is an opportunity for autistic people and ADHDers to explore and honor their needs and challenges without having their needs or challenges framed as a burden or deficit. I can't begin to express how empowering that is. When you go through this workbook, you'll discover strategies and tools to support your autism and ADHD, but what's extra cool is how this workbook acknowledges the unfair neuronormative ideals and expectations that are reinforced throughout society, and how this plays a part in our journey of self-acceptance and supporting our neurodivergence. I genuinely believe a significant part of looking after our well-being is challenging neuronormativity and reframing the expectations and ideals that we measure ourselves against. And this workbook provides many opportunities for us to do so. This is what sets it apart from other workbooks for us autistic people and ADHDers. It recognizes that we do not exist in a vacuum and that cultivating a life of acceptance means acknowledging the very real impact of living in a world that disadvantages and oppresses us. I believe this workbook will allow autistic people and ADHDers to connect with their authentic selves and create a meaningful life in which we can thrive instead of always just striving. You'll probably want to dive into this workbook now, so I'll leave you with this. This isn't about finding a light at the end of the tunnel, because honestly, the tunnel never ends. But it is about illuminating the tunnel with self-acceptance, helpful tools, and a supportive community. And on behalf of an autistic ADHDer and a multiply neurodivergent person, thank you, Monique and Jennifer, for your lived experience-informed workbook. I know it'll be a wonderful resource for autistic people and ADHDers around the world. May you continue to be your authentic self in the face of neuronormativity. Sunny Jane Wise. Your journey to self-compassion and self-acceptance starts here. Truth is so rare, it is delightful to tell it. Emily Dickinson. Your unique perspective on the world sets you apart from others in ways that can sometimes feel painful. People tell you to try harder, focus more, not take things so personally, or sort yourself out. But what you do never seems to quite feel right. Feeling the weight of other people's disappointment, you work hard to avoid making mistakes. Over time, other people's criticism becomes how you speak to yourself. Worried that people might reject you for being weird or rude, it can feel safer to pretend to be someone you are not and try to keep everyone happy. In the process, you lose sight of who you are. These are just some of the challenges you can face as a neurodivergent person due to having different skills, preferences, sensitivities, abilities, and needs. Neurodivergence is an umbrella term that includes autism, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, dyspraxia, dyslexia, dyscalculia, obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD, Tourette's syndrome, tic disorder, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and more. This book focuses on autism and ADHD because these types of neurodivergence, or neurotypes, are closely related and share many of the same features and challenges. Whether you have a formal diagnosis or self-identify as autistic or an ADHDer, this book offers a pathway to understanding yourself better and building a life on a foundation of self-acceptance and self-compassion. However, if you are someone who has a different neurotype, diagnosis, or differs in some other way from what society views as normal, aspects of this book will be helpful for you, too. The later in life you learn you are neurodivergent, the more complicated and challenging your life may already have become. The aim of this book is to help you approach yourself with greater kindness and compassion. You will learn the core skills needed to navigate the world as a neurodivergent person, using these skills to create an authentic, meaningful, and satisfying life that works better for you. To develop these skills, we've explored what the research reveals about what it means to be autistic or an ADHDer, weaving what we learned with our life experiences and those of our clients and friends. We are thrilled to have you on this journey with us. Uncovering our hidden neurodivergence. As members of the neurodivergent affirming community, we learn more every day about what it means to be neurodivergent. We have joined the growing number of health professionals who are developing a deeper understanding of this, too. Throughout this book, we use identity-first language and capitalize autism and autistic to reflect how proud we are of our neurodivergent identities. You'll learn more about identity-affirming language in the next chapter. Jennifer's story. I only found out that I was autistic at 47 years old, when one of my children was assessed, and I sat in on the interview. As we stepped through each phase of the assessment process, my funny, quick-witted, and observant teenager kept looking over at me, saying, "No, I don't do that, but my mother does." Despite having suspected that my slightly chaotic teen was autistic for a while, it had never occurred to me that I could be too. You might think that as a clinical psychologist, I would have known all about autism and could recognize it in myself, but this wasn't the case. I'd learned virtually nothing about autism at university and had only basic, deficit-focused understanding of how autism presents in children. Now it was as if I was Alice in Wonderland and had just stepped through the looking glass. Everything suddenly seemed unfamiliar, yet the same. For several weeks, I became lost in my thoughts and overwhelmed with a sense of loss and confusion. Yet very quickly, my life experiences started to make sense in a new way. At first, I kept my discoveries to myself, because even though I had been working on being kinder to myself for a long time, I still blamed myself for the problems I'd experienced. As a recovering perfectionist, making mistakes tends to make me feel sick to my stomach. Yet here I was, going over every awkward social interaction I'd ever had, how I'd lost friends over the years, how I blamed myself for misunderstanding the situation or saying the wrong thing. It was excruciating. Since then, I've continued to reevaluate my life, but at a slower, gentler pace. I still have decades of lived experiences to unpack. I'd never appreciated how socially awkward I could be, because I grew up in an environment where my differences were accepted. I can lovingly describe my extended family as a bunch of warm and caring geeks with a wide selection of deep interests. I never felt odd or unusual in that environment. Little quirks were normal to us. Furthermore, I performed well academically. I thrived on structure, particularly when I created a routine. In my final years of high school, strict dieting and an emerging eating disorder gave me a sense of control at a time when I had some devastating friendship breakdowns. At the end of high school, a guidance counselor told me my skills would be a good fit for engineering or architecture, but I chose to study psychology anyway. This was the official start of my lifelong passion for learning about humans. I had a shaky start, but made good friends with others who shared my interests in my second year. We are all still working in psychology. Most of my closest friends are psychologists, have studied psychology, or work in related fields. I know I have been incredibly privileged to pursue a career in my area of passion. While my personal journey towards self-compassion may have started with letting go of my perfectionistic self-criticism, having the opportunity to reevaluate everything has given me a much deeper sense of appreciation and warmth toward myself. Being autistic has caused me problems, but it has also given me an endless fascination with my work, and I never run out of things to learn. It has also given me skills in pattern recognition, analysis, and the drive to understand things more deeply, all of which I've brought to my writing. As a result, I've been able to unmask more, ask for what I need, and be more authentically myself. I hope to help you do this, too. Monique's story. Finding my unique neurodivergent identity and getting a diagnosis helped me understand and put into context many things about myself. My whole life, I had been searching for a way to understand why I thought differently and related differently to others. I first suspected I was autistic when I attended a training session on autism in adults and women by Tony Attwood, a noted British expert on autism. I was a psychologist working in a private practice that specialized in autism and ADHD in Brisbane, yet most of my training was child-focused, while I worked only with adults. During the session, I resonated with many facets of what autism looks like outside of gender norms. I recognized that many of my struggles and strengths lie in being autistic. At the time, there were few resources or supports for adult women, and much of the information was negative or deficit-based. I didn't know where to go from there, so I stopped looking into it. Fast forward a few years, and as the neurodiversity-affirming movement gained ground, I was introduced to more empowering information about autism and ADHD. Understanding why I needed so much recovery time from social events and why I had difficulty navigating social cues helped me unravel the perfectionism and self-criticism I had developed early on in life. Having a logical explanation of the why helped to release any self-criticism I had over being anxious about making social mistakes, managing new situations, feeling sick and dizzy in shopping centers, or having quirky interests and deep obsessions. It also helped me understand why I burn out more quickly than others. I found that the more I learned about autism and ADHD, the more compassion I developed for myself and others. I was able to understand why others thought differently and acted in ways that did not make logical sense to me. I could make more space for rest and engage in my interests deeply without apology. Gradually, I have developed radical self-acceptance for myself and my needs and tailored my life to suit my neurodivergence. I have been able to work in a career that I love and am very passionate about. I can pursue my interests through my work and find flexible work where I am not punished because I need to work part-time and need specific accommodations. I have been able to avoid a generational family pattern of burning out and being unable to participate in the workplace despite having so much to give to society. I am grateful to have supportive colleagues and a boss, friends, and family who have been willing to learn about neurodivergence, many of whom are also neurodivergent. I have found that connecting with other neurodivergent people has been critical on my path to self-acceptance and self-validation. In particular, connecting with fellow neurodivergent mental health professionals and feeling part of a community has been so helpful. I also love working with my neurodivergent clients. By capitalizing on my unique neurodivergent strengths, I have carved out a life that works for me. I have an excellent memory for facts related to my interests, an intense interest and curiosity for learning and accumulating knowledge in various areas, including psychology, social justice, animals, spirituality and religions, yoga, nutrition, and medicine. I analyze data, see patterns and systems, and communicate clearly and directly by cutting through the bullshit. I save energy and manage burnout better by getting support and accommodations where needed and dropping unhelpful expectations of myself. I now live with some chronic health conditions that make life more challenging. My self-compassion skills have been helpful in navigating these difficulties with authenticity. The unique focus of this book. Autism and ADHD are neurodevelopmental conditions that are common in our society, with approximately 5% of the population meeting the criteria for ADHD and at least 2.8% meeting the criteria for autism, although these rates may be much higher. Autism and ADHD are genetic, with recent research finding ADHD to be approximately 74% inherited and autism to be approximately 90% inherited. This explains why you will often find ADHD and autism in multiple generations of the same family. Interestingly, autism and ADHD share the same genetic origins. Many people meet the criteria for both autism and ADHD, with recent research estimating that approximately 86% of autistic people could also meet the criteria for ADHD, and approximately 50% of ADHDers could be diagnosed with autism, although these figures may still underestimate the overlap. Many of the daily challenges described by ADHDers are also reflected in the difficulties experienced by autistic people, including sensory differences and repetitive behaviors. Given this, autism and ADHD may be better understood as part of a shared spectrum of neurobiological differences that originate from differences in the structure and function of the brain and spinal cord, central nervous system, peripheral nervous system, and other physiological systems. The genes responsible for autism and ADHD can be found in every cell of your body, and may be related to differences and difficulties in any part of your body, including digestion, sensory perception, muscle function, pain, heart rate, blood pressure, and hormones. This book explores the overlapping challenges experienced by autistic people and ADHDers, including neurodivergent burnout, managing difficult emotions, becoming overburdened by competing demands, feeling extremely hurt by rejection, and trying to hide these differences to avoid negative judgments. Each chapter will guide you toward a more rewarding and fulfilling life as a proud neurodivergent person, whether you have been formally diagnosed or have self-identified as autistic, an ADHDer, or both. Where an issue relates specifically to ADHD or autism, we will highlight this. However, for the most part, we will leave it for you to decide whether a particular topic applies to you. If you belong to any other neuro-minority or are a partner, family member, ally, carer, or health professional working with neurodivergent people, there will be something useful for you in this book, too. The opportunity for self-compassion. As a neurodivergent person, you are more likely to be criticized, corrected, and judged negatively, and feel greater shame and lower self-worth as a result. Autistic people and ADHDers tend to be harder on themselves than their non-neurodivergent peers and have lower levels of self-compassion. Being self-critical can become so familiar that it feels easier to be harsh and critical toward yourself than to offer yourself kindness and understanding. Being compassionate means having sensitivity to suffering in yourself and others, with a commitment to try to alleviate and prevent this suffering. Self-compassion is an active process of approaching yourself with empathy, non-judgment, and understanding. Higher levels of self-compassion can improve your psychological well-being and quality of life while helping you to regulate your emotions, lower your anxiety and stress, and improve your mood. To help you develop self-compassion skills, we will be drawing on the techniques from Compassion-Focused Therapy, CFT. CFT is an innovative approach to therapy that can help you learn how to offer yourself greater compassion. Much more than just having warm feelings toward yourself, self-compassion can support radical and profound positive change in your life, starting with simply pausing to notice what you need and deciding to try to meet these needs. If you tend to be hard on yourself, you may believe that your chances of becoming more self-compassionate are slim. But let us assure you that learning to approach yourself with greater self-compassion is possible. To help you build these skills, we will integrate CFT approaches with acceptance and commitment therapy, ACT, adapting both to meet neurodivergent needs. Pronounced as one word, ACT, this simple yet powerful approach to therapy offers enormous potential to help neurodivergent people. Rather than treating surface-level symptoms or trying to change the content of your thoughts, ACT focuses on learning to accept yourself and building your ability to navigate difficult and uncomfortable experiences. By developing your skills of present-moment awareness, ACT can help you develop a sense of perspective, tune in to your internal experiences as they happen, and take steps toward what is important to you, even in the presence of self-criticism and doubt. Put together, CFT and ACT can help you create a fulfilling and rewarding life. How to use this book. How you work through this book will be unique to you. We have a few suggestions that may help even when you have less energy, ability to focus, or time. Complete the first three chapters before moving on. Chapters 1 and 2 are the foundation of the book. You'll learn the fundamentals of the autistic and ADHD neurotypes, explore your unique expression of neurodivergence, and understand the challenges you face in day-to-day life. This is an essential starting point for developing greater self-compassion and self-acceptance. Chapter 3 focuses on neurodivergent burnout, something that almost all our autistic and ADHD or clients struggle with, and we suspect you may too. When you are in burnout, you have fewer internal resources available to make positive changes in your life, so learning how to alleviate and prevent burnout is essential for your immediate and long-term well-being. Putting these strategies into action right away will also help you complete the rest of the book. Lean on your strengths to make learning easier. Our aim is to make this book as accessible as possible for neurodivergent thinkers. To achieve this, we blend detailed information with checklists, self-reflection exercises, and practical strategies that you can use immediately. We encourage you to complete the activities using any approach that matches your learning style and personal strengths. You may like to respond to questions by writing in a notebook, using bullet points, creating a mind map, or drawing a comic or animation. You may prefer to record your responses using audio or video. We also understand that sitting still to complete mindfulness activities can be tricky for many people. We have had this experience ourselves. So, feel free to move your body any way you choose during these activities. Stand, walk, swing, sway gently from side to side, use a fidget toy, draw, color in, knit, or paint. Many neurodivergent people have difficulty with visualization. This is called aphantasia and is a normal part of human diversity. If this applies to you, you may prefer to draw your responses, search for images that reflect the topic, or write down your thoughts and read these aloud. In other words, work through this book in whatever way suits you best. Approach this book as if you plan to revisit it. As much as you can, try to let go of needing to complete every activity perfectly, as this will slow your progress. From personal experience, we know this can be hard to do. There is no prize for using this book properly. Every time you listen to this book, you will gain new insights, so planning to listen to it again will help you avoid getting stuck. Even though we hope you can attempt each activity, skipping to the next task is okay if you get bogged down or feel overwhelmed. Make a note of what you want to return to, then move on. Consider finding a partner for your journey. It is often easier to get things done if you have someone with you. Finding a fellow traveler for this journey could make it easier for you. You may like to invite a friend or partner to listen to the book with you, complete the activities together or separately, and discuss what you learn. Alternatively, you could take turns listening to a section and summarizing it for each other. If you know other people who would like to work through this book, you could create a small online group, your own neurodivergent book club. Prepare to feel uncomfortable at times. As you work through this book, you may discover new things about yourself or come into contact with painful memories of the past. Treat yourself with extra care and kindness in these moments, and remember to seek the help of an affirming health professional if you feel too distressed. In fact, you may like to work through this book with the help of your therapist. Work at your own pace. We cover a lot of ground in this book. If you feel intimidated or overburdened at any stage, lower the expectations you have of yourself. Consider setting yourself the goal of listening for just a few minutes every day or each week. It is better not to change everything at once, so consider aiming for just one small action each day to improve your life. Be patient with your progress. This book will help you design and build an authentic and purposeful life. However, it will take time. There are many skills to learn along the way. While you are likely to make some quick gains initially, the compounded effect of many small changes will only become more evident over weeks, months, and years. Keep this long-term perspective in mind as you make daily choices to care for yourself. Things will get better with gentle persistence and time. It is now time to begin. We can't wait. Chapter 1. Getting to know yourself in a new way. If you're lucky enough to be different, never change. Taylor Swift. Your neurodivergence is not a superpower. It's much more complicated than that. Whether autistic or an ADHDer, you experience and interpret the world differently. While being neurodivergent may come with some noticeable benefits, these are balanced with extra challenges, leading to a spiky profile of strengths and difficulties. None of us can be brilliant at everything, but because...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?